Let's get our Bibles up, brothers and sisters. And we are continuing in our discipleship training. I do this same training on Sunday nights. And on Sunday nights, what I've decided to call it is not discipleship training, discipline training. Discipline. You know, it's really kind of cool. If I said there was discipleship training, everybody would want to come. If I say it's discipline training, guess what? You think I have more or fewer? Fewer. In fact, there's many times less will come to discipline training. But in order to be a disciple, you need to be what? Discipline. Right, Clyde? Discipline. You cannot be disciplined and be a disciple. You must be the same thing. You must be disciplined. And we're talking today about one of the greatest disciplines of being a disciple, and that is what? Prayer. And I told you, and I've been telling you, that there is acceptable prayer and unacceptable prayer. And I told you the first two attributes of acceptable prayer, characteristic of acceptable prayer, was what? A prayer must be offered in what? Humility. Humility was the second one. What's the first one?
Faith.
Faith and humility. Faith and humility. Well, today we're going to focus on the third characteristic of prayer that is acceptable. The third characteristic of prayer that is acceptable. And by the way, you know, a lot of folks have been asking me, what will I be teaching on, you know, in the ensuing weeks? We're going to be on prayer for quite a long time. Because prayer is important. How many know prayer is important? Prayer is important. And we're going to be in prayer a long time. We might not get out of it for the whole summer. That's how much importance prayer has. Now, the first characteristic of acceptable prayer must be a prayer offered in what? Faith. Faith in what? Faith in God is who He says that He is. Faith in God can do what I'm asking Him to do. Faith that God is hearing me and I am important. The second characteristic of prayer that is acceptable is a prayer must be offered in what, Tammy? Humility. You got to go before God and understand your place. And where is your place before God? You know what? You know really where your place is before God? Kind of like this. Kind of like that. On your knees with your face bowed where? To the ground. Really, this is really your position going before God. That's really your position. But how many of us do that? Now, I know what we're saying, but Pastor, come here, help me up. Come here. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. No problem. But you know what? It's not so much on your knees physically as it is on your knees where? Spiritually. Humbled before God. Now the third characteristic of prayer that is acceptable. First, faith, humility, and it must be according to His will. And that's a tough one. And before I get into the scripture passages I selected for you today, let's talk a little bit about this in His will thing. It's difficult because of our perception of God's will. I had a person one time tell me that it is God's will that everybody live to be over 100. Now, that's what I was told. It is God's will that everybody live to be over 100. Now, let's just, what we have to kind of do is we have to look at some stuff and test things. How many know? We're supposed to test, right? We test things. We test things. And I was told one time that it is God's will that everybody live to be 100. Huh. Okay, well, let's take that. Let's take that intellectually, and then we're going to test it scripturally. Therefore, anybody take logic? I took logic in school. We take logic? Logic? Okay. Therefore, logic must tell me that the majority of people from the beginning of time forward to those who no longer live to be 900 or 800 forward must not be what? In God's will. If they were all in God's will, they'd be what? Over 100. We're just intellectualizing, right? So therefore, if it's God's will that everybody live to be 100, everybody, 99.9% of people, must be what? Out of His will. Including people like Mother Teresa. Logic 101. Mother Teresa was how old when she died? Well, we don't. Was she 100? No. So therefore, Mother Teresa. You all know Mother Teresa, right? Mother Teresa had to not be in God's will. Is that possible? No. Number two. Let's suppose that it is God's will that everybody live to be 100. 100. And on your 100th birthday, they bring a cake out. Now, intellectualize it. On your 100th birthday, Clyde, you're going to make it 100, right? They bring out the cake with all the 100 candles on it. And you go, I mean, you can't even enjoy the cake. Because on your 100th birthday, Clyde, what happens? Uh-oh. Now, I don't want to make light of it, but I want to make sure you understand it. Knowing people the way that you know them, logic would tell me, man, if I knew I would live to be 100 when I'm 99,364 days old, guess what I might do then? Oh, Lord, forgive me of all of my sin. Now, how many of you think people would do that? Wouldn't they do that? You don't think, how many say they would? How many know God's kind of figured out they probably knows they do it too, right? How many know God's smarter than you are? And God says, see, I come on not on your 100th birthday, I come like a what? A thief in the night. Are you ready? Be ready. Number three. If we all live to be 100 years old, how many of you be taking care of yourself a lot less than you are now? Would you really have taken all those vitamins, Eric, if you knew? Okay, you might, but other than you, Eric. I see you're the GNC, buddy. And so why is it? And I gave you the atheistic argument once. Didn't I give you the atheistic argument? Did I tell you that one time? I forget something. I did do that? Okay, why are the children dying of cancer? Why is that? Why? It was two reasons why. Number one, because when the fall of man came, guess what entered into the world, Char? Death! And sicknesses and diseases and illnesses. It came in with it. It's part of the deal. And you know why there's young people dying? To remind us that you are not going to live to be 100. And you are not in control. You have zipperini control. Fact is, when I go to hospice stuff, and unfortunately sometimes, you know, a family feels they're making the decision to stop life-sustaining treatment. How many understand what I'm telling you? You know, we the doctor comes in and says, hey, look, here's the deal. Here's the deal. You know, it doesn't look like this is going anywhere. And we have to make a decision. You know, and their family wrestles with that. And, you know, I think it's time to shut the ventilator off and let's just let the person die. You know, a lot of people wrestle with that. And they call me. They call me to help with that decision. You know what I tell people? What makes you think you're stopping this? Really? You think God's given you the power of this? You? Really? You think God, Almighty God's given you the power to do this? Really? You think that? You really think that? Or what you have to do is accept what God's will is. All you're doing is looking at the situation and understanding, okay, Lord, it's time. Based upon your calendar and your time, it's time. And Lord, I'm trusting you more than I'm trusting me. Now you listen to me. You think God can't do a miracle with a ventilator off? Is that what you think God is like? Really? I mean, you think this through. You mean to tell me if you go on over there and you pull the plug, God goes, oh, I was just about to do a miracle and you pull the plug. Now I can't do what. Oh my gosh, put the plug back in. I was ready to do something. Is that what you think? You can pull all the plugs at UPMC Hospital and turn off all the ventilators. And God says, guess what? You're all getting up and walking. Guess what God can do if he wants to? The guy will get out of bed and go plug his old ventilator in. Right? It's true. You think God's confined to MRIs and CT scans to do miracles? Is that what you think? No. You just have to understand that God's will is going to be done. And tell you what, you can put somebody on four ventilators if you want to. And if God says it's their day, guess what? It's their day. And you know why you don't know when the day's coming? Because you'd play the odds. That's what you would do. You'll be like, I'll have another. That horse that beats that Bodemeister guy, whatever his name is. Bodemeister. How many understand that? You follow horse races? Hey, check it out. There's this horse called Bodemeister, and everybody's putting the money on this guy, this horse, because he's won like $3 or $4 million horse. A $3 or $4 million horse, right? And they got this other horse, I'll have another, cost $35,000. That's a lot of money for some of us, but that ain't a lot of money for a racehorse. And they got this horse called I'll Have Another, and he's been ridden by this jockey that had never rode before in anything of major importance. They don't even know the guy's name. They don't even know the guy's name. Right, Sissy? And so they got this Bodemeister, right? Ridden by this well-known jockey, and oh, he's going to, you might as well not even show up because he's going to take it. But see, they forgot to tell that other horse that he's supposed to lose. They forgot to tell the other jockey that he ain't supposed to win. See, if they had told them that, well, then maybe the outcome would be different. But they forgot to tell the $30,000 horse and the nobody jockey that they ain't supposed to win. And Bodemeister's running in the Kentucky Derby. He's leading every. Oh, here comes Bodemeister. Here comes Bodemeister. Oh, we knew Bodemeister's going to win. And here comes a long shot. And oh my God, he's third, he's second, oh my God, oh my God. And everybody's going crazy. Here comes the nobody horse on the nobody jockey who forgot to tell me he's supposed to win. Guess what? He won. And the second race comes a Preakness. Well, Bodemeister, you know that Bodemeister, they just let him run too fast. They got to bring him in a little bit slower because, you know, he's a strong finisher. And, you know, that I'll have another, that $30,000 horse, it was a fluke. It was a fluke. And they got out running, and Bodemeister's winning again all around the track. But they forgot to tell that stupid horse he ain't supposed to win twice in a row. They forgot to tell the stupid horse and the no-name jockey that he ain't supposed to win the second time. Guess what? A mirror image of the first race. Here comes that nobody horse again. Boom, boom, wins again. You see, life's like that. Life is like that. And we've got to understand that you can live on chance if you want to, but God's will is going to be done 100% of the time. Now, here's the problem with this. We had a person who attended our church services a while back, and this person had the concept that everyone should be living to 100. Live to 100, that was the concept of this individual, and his wife had gotten cancer. And this person's concept, what this person's been taught, is that everybody lives to be 100, and the only reason why you don't live to be 100 is your faith is not strong enough. That's the concept. Everybody follow me? That's the concept. If you die before you're 100, your faith is weak. And this person's wife had cancer. And he prayed over his wife day and night and night and day. Fact is, he got the whole church to pray over his wife. And Sissy and I went to see them, right, Sissy? And the husband said to me, don't even come in my house if you don't have faith. That's what he told us, right, Sissy? That's what he told us on the porch. Don't come in if you don't have faith. And I said, well, we have faith. We have faith. But the woman died. According to this man, guess whose fault it is that she died? His. It's his. Because his faith was not what? Strong enough. Now, could it not be it was God's will? Do we negate his will? Now, you listen to me, church. You listen to me. You can believe anything you want, but you're never going to make me believe anything I'm about to tell you now. Don't you tell me that there's not parents down in Children's Hospital right now praying in the chapel over their child. And don't you tell me that their faith is not strong enough. Their child's going to be made well. Don't you even go there with me. And that child will die. Not because that parent's faith is not strong enough. Not because all their church's faith is not strong enough. Not because of anybody's faith. It's because it is his what? Disease has entered into the world, right? And guess whose fault it was disease entered into the world? Ours. It's my fault. I had a guy from the Light of Life homeless shelter who got me one day and he said to me, "Pastor, I want you to pray over me." I said, "Okay, what's the nature of your prayer?" He said, "I want you to pray over me that I do not get cancer." And I said, okay. I said, "You have cancer now?" "No." "Have you been diagnosed with cancer?" "No." "Have you had family history of cancer?" "No." I said, "Well, I'm not understanding." He said, "Well, I smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day." I said, "Well, why don't you quit?" "No." "See, that's why I want you to pray." And I said, "Run this by me slow." Can I hear my hearing aids in? Not quitting, you know. "Run it by me slow. What is this again?" "I smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day. And I want you to pray over me so that I will not get cancer while I continue to smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day." Now, you all know me. Do you think I'd pray over that guy? I said, "I'll pray over you, no problem. Lord, remove the demon of nicotine from this person. Because you know what? You smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day, guess what's going to happen to you? And that is not God's will, that is your stupidity." God gave us free will, right? Didn't he? And that's part of God's will too, isn't it? If you drive down a road without a seatbelt on, guess what? Call it, Eric. I guess you'll find out. Seriously, if you drive down the road without a seatbelt, how many of you know you are risking some real severe stuff? Now, I will let you know right now, I found that out the hard way because they do not put seatbelts on motorcycles. And when you hit something at 55 miles an hour, it hits something that's stationary, your body continues to travel at 55 miles an hour until something stops it. Like the Ohio Turnpike. How many of you know you're taking a risk if you don't wear a seatbelt? "Well, I wound up in Harmerville because my neck is broken. I can't move my legs. And it was God's will in my life." No, that was your will. How many understand that? All right. So prayer must be offered according to God's will. Turn your Bibles. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14.
"Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us."
If we ask anything in his will. Now, there's another thing that we need to talk about. There are some folks who really do believe that when we pray for somebody, if we add that phrase, and we put a two-letter word, which kind of, in some people's mind, negates the prayer, if we add that word, if, we negated the prayer. Kind of like this: "Lord, heal this person of cancer if it is your will." You understand that? "Lord, take away this person's pain if it is your will." And what some people will believe, that if we add that word "if" in there, that if it's according to will, that we're saying, well, it's not his will. Everybody follow the argument? So is it okay to say, "Lord, remove this person's cancer according to your will"? Is it, what if you slip up? You know, like you slip up. You know, and you're in pain and you slip up. And you go, "If, oh no, I should have said, oh no, I can't believe it." How many think God can handle it? I think God can see your heart. Can't he? Can't God get inside there and see the intent of your heart? When we ask anything according to God's will, in that passage of Scripture, does it say He will grant it? Mickey, did it say that? You read it. Did it say He'll grant it? Read it again.
Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us.
Does it say grant it or hear it? He hears it. It doesn't say He grants it. Does it? And so, healing. Let's define healing. Is healing always physical? Is healing 100% of the time physical? If a person is not healed physically, is that because it's God's... No, it's because your faith is not strong enough? Let's have an example. The Apostle Paul. Would you say the Apostle Paul had a connection between him and the Lord? How many agree with that statement? How many would say that Paul was ordained by Christ Himself? Yes. Would we say, then, that Paul had strong faith?
Yes.
Who says Paul's faith is strong? Okay. How many of you would say that according to our contemporaries that we have, ourselves or others, other people that you could name, Billy Graham included, how many of you could name me some people whose faith was stronger than Paul's? Not a lot. How many would say on the faith plateau, Paul's up there? Right? So can we not at least agree that Paul's faith is up at the top? Yes?
Yes.
Yes. And so would we not agree also, maybe we're not agreeing that when Paul went to the Lord in prayer, his faith was up there? Would we not agree that God heard his prayer? How many agree with that? Well, how do you know that God heard his prayer? Is it an assumption or can it be based upon a fact? What fact is it? What's that? His faith and humility, true. There's another reason why we know that God heard him. Because recorded in Scripture is an answer. Isn't it?
Yeah.
There's an answer. Is it not an answer?
Yep.
I went to the Lord and asked him to take away my thorn. And recorded in Scripture, the reply is what? No. My grace is sufficient. Did God hear him?
Yes.
Was Paul's faith strong?
Yes.
Did Paul offer his prayer in persistence?
Yes.
How many times did he pray? What is the answer? No! Heal me of cancer! No! Take away this affliction that I have! No! Take away all my financial burdens! No! Why? For my grace is sufficient for you. How many hate that answer? Don't you hate that answer? Is it possible that God's will in our lives will be done whether you like it or not?
Yes?
Yes? Yes? Now, of course, now Paul, who did not have the thorn removed from his side, though he want, did he want it removed?
Yes.
Was his faith strong? Did he have the direct connection between him and God? Did God hear him?
Yes.
Was it done?
No.
But was he healed?
Yes.
Now this is what, Sissy? Chrissy? See, I even heard that over there. That's pretty cool.
I said yes.
Yes! How do we know he was healed?
He continued
to minister all around Asia Minor with what? The thorn in his side, and he wrote almost all of the New Testament epistles, the Apostle Paul, with a what? The thorn in his side. Was he healed? Yes. And what was he able to accept? God's grace, which became what? Sufficient for him. Now, is God's grace sufficient for you? I know you all want to say what?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what you want to say, huh? Don't you want to say that? But sometimes we don't believe that, do we? If I was only this, or if I was only that, and God would only do this, and God would only do that, then therefore I could do all this, and I could do all that. Right? Get a grip. Get a grip. Does God use broken people all the time?
Yeah.
Does God use the weaker vessels?
Yeah.
All the time. If you're willing to be what? Used. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke 22:42.
Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.
Hey, that's something. Jesus Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Right? He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Did he want to maybe have a different way other than to be crucified? Yes. He's having some second thoughts. He's God, but he's also who? Man. Is it okay to ask God not to have some kind of affliction come upon you? Sure. Is it okay to have God remove the affliction? Ask him? Sure. Did Paul do it? Did Jesus do it? Of course he did. Of course he did. But he added to the prayer request, did he not? But nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. And this is his son. This is Jesus who's teaching him how to pray. He clearly said, but although this would be my will, is Jesus' faith strong, do you think? How many say Jesus' faith is strong? How many say he had a direct connection to the dad? Abba Daddy, he had a direct connection, right? How many know that God the Father heard Jesus' son pray? He did, right? Did he not ask, is there another way? Yes or no? Did he not say, hey, if there's another way here, I'll take that route? He did say that, right? But he said, but nevertheless, although this would be my plan, my will, nevertheless, what? Your will be done. Now, Robin referenced 1 John chapter 5, and she referenced verse 15. And I forgot to put that on your paper, so I'm going to read it. 1 John 15, chapter 5, 1 John 15, says this, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked of him. Sounds kind of like, if I want a new Cadillac, I'm going to get it. Kind of sounds like that, right? If I ask my petitions, I'm going to give. It kind of sounds like that. That's not what it says. Because what do we want to have done? His will. And that's the hook. What if I want to be rich and famous and good looking? One out of three ain't bad, huh? Can decide which one. And so what happens is, we really say to ourselves, you know what? I want this, I want that. I want the cancer gone. I want the thorn gone. I want my knees good. I want my hip good. I want my eyes good. I want my ears good. I want my lungs good. I want my heart good. But nevertheless, your will be done. And guess what might just be done? His will. If we pray to the Father to have his will be done, will we receive his will? You don't like that all the time? No. No. And Jesus taught us. He said, not my will be done, but yours. Yours. Turn your Bibles, please, to the Epistle of James, chapter 4, verse 3.
You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures.
I hate that one. You ask? What if I ask in faith? What if I ask in faith, right? I ask in faith. And I'm diligent in asking. But I'm not receiving. Is it because he hasn't heard me? Obviously not. That's not the answer. Why am I not receiving it? Because it would be used for who?
You.
You. It's all about you. It's all about you. And Scripture says clearly that when we ask, we do not receive because you would use it for your pleasure. Is anybody bold enough to say this? I'm glad God loves me too much to bless me too quick. Now, this is being taped. It's going out all over the internet. I'm probably going to get some cards and mails and some fan letters. But here I go, getting myself in trouble again. I do not believe that God wants you to have every little heart's content. I do not believe it. I do not believe that God wants us all to be millionaires. I do not believe that God all wants us to be wealthy in a worldly sense. I do not believe that God wants us to all have two Cadillacs and our wives have diamond rings bigger than a rock at Gibraltar. I do not believe that. I believe that God gives out according to His riches and His purposes. That's what I believe. And if He wanted everybody to be rich, the disciples wouldn't have had to all be poor. If He wanted everybody to be famous in a worldly sense, they wouldn't have had to be stoned to death, hung upside on crosses, fed to the lions. They're famous because they suffered. How many know that too? Mother Teresa was not rich and wealthy. But was she wealthy in heaven? Amen, right? That's what I believe. And I believe that we need to understand that God's will is going to be done. 100% of the time. 100% of the time. Now, a different way of praying in the model of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane might go something like this. Lord, if there's another way, if there's another way that I do not have to be able to suffer, I would really, really like that. Lord, if there's a way that I don't have to go through this trial and tribulation all over again, Lord, if there's a way of doing this, I would really rather not do this. But nevertheless, not my will be done, yours be done. In whose life? My life. Your will be done in me. And Lord, if I have to go through this trial and tribulation, then give me the strength to drink from that cup until it is finished. Not for my purposes, but for your purposes. Now I want to ask you a question, brothers and sisters. Of all the people in your life, and you have some people in your life, I want you to think about those people that you would look up to. Okay? People that you would look up to. How many of you would look up to somebody that never had a trial, never had a tribulation, never had an obstacle, never had an illness, never had a disease, never had to work hard for a living? I mean, they just got everything given to them. They were spoon-fed millions and millions and millions of dollars, never had to work a day in their life. You know, how many look up to them in a motivational way? Would you look up to that? No! No! May I share our prayer request that we have with you? May I talk about it?
Sure.
Okay. Our sister was a little bit sad today because she has seizures. Right? And she was asking for prayer concerns for her seizures from me and the elders. And she's concerned that, you know, these seizures could lead to something horrific like death. She's really concerned about that. And I told her, before I prayed over her, I said to her, do you know who Sid Bream is? Sid Bream, and she doesn't know. You know now, right? Stand up. Turn around. Tell everybody who Sid Bream is.
First baseman for the
Pittsburgh
Pirates.
First baseman for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And what did he do?
He scored a home run.
In a World Series, won that, right? Mm-hmm. What's he have?
Epilepsy.
Mm-hmm. Epilepsy. In fact, he founded the Sid Bream Foundation for Epilepsy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So how are you feeling about that?
Pretty good.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
You know why she feels pretty good? Because Sid Bream had epilepsy. And Sid Bream did not let it get to him. You feel pretty good about that, huh?
Uh-huh.
And Sid Bream, by the way, is a Christian, too. How many knew Sid Bream's a Christian? How many knew he had epilepsy? Did you know that? Yeah, epilepsy. Suffered with epilepsy. Had seizures. Did you know that, Christina?
Yes.
First baseman of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And he was used through his epilepsy. Had he not told everybody that he had it, I would not have been able to tell her that he had it, and she would not be happy, right? You happy today?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he sit down. God manifests His strength through our adversity. Right? And so many times we pray this way, oh Lord, take it away, oh Lord, take it away. That's not a bad thing. But Lord, if You're not going to take it away, give me the strength to get my head up. Get my shoulders square. If I'm going to go through this, I'm going to go through this with my head up. I am not going to beat upon my chest and say, poor me, poor me, poor me. Oh, no, I will not. Oh, no, I will not. If I got to go through a trial or tribulation, how great thou art, how great thou art. Right? Prayer needs to be offered according to his will. So far we have three characteristics of prayer. Which is acceptable? What's the first one? Faith. What's the second one? Humility. What's the third one? According to God's will. Number four. And maybe I shouldn't start that, huh? No? Is this a no? Okay, let's pray according to God's will then. Father God, it's not Elder Bob's will. It's not Blueberry Park's will to use this building. It must be your will. We must end the service now. So, Lord, we will do that. But we will be praying, Lord, when we leave this place, as we continue to learn the discipline of being a disciple. We will pray, Lord, with great faith. Even a mustard seed faith can move mountains. So we will pray with faith. We will pray with all humility as we bow before the presence of our holy God. And we will pray according to your will. Because, Lord, your will is going to be done. I don't know anybody whose will is greater than yours. Even the most strongest-willed kid in this place can never compare to your will. So, Father, thank you for your will. And thank you, Lord, that when we come to you, and we come to you in prayer, and we come to you with faith, and we come to you, Lord, humbled before the presence of a holy God, and we pray that your will be done in our lives, we thank you for 100% of the time you hear us. And you honor the request that we ask, which is your will to be done. So, Lord, as we go from this place, may you continue to have your will be done with us, Lord. We are servants. And Lord, whatever it is your will is for us, we will respond in an affirmative. Okay, Lord, your will be done. Your will shall be done. And all of God's people said, amen.